You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm ready.
Well, howdy, Holly.
Well, hello, Dave.
What's going on?
And hey, welcome. Welcome, everybody, to What Difference Does It Make?
The podcast.
The podcast, featuring all things 80s, but mostly music.
Correct. Excellent explanation.
You. If you had you corrected me, I would have been really bummed, because we've been doing this for a while, and I would be very surprised.
Yeah. All right, so that's your elevator.
It wasn't actually about the 80s.
What? That's your elevator pitch.
That's my elevator pitch.
Okay, perfect.
Are you in?
I'm all in. So anyway, tell me more. Is it love at first sight? You love it? You love this podcast? And
love this podcast.
Why do you love it?
I love it. Well, I love it because I love 80s music. I love 80s, everything about the 80s. I had a good 80s. It was a good decade.
It was a good 80s.
And I have a great partner.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks, Holly. You're talking about me, right?
Oh, yeah. And you. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Good to be here.
I'm happy to have you.
So mostly we talk 80s. We use K-Rock, the radio station, as kind of a springboard to discuss all the music we listened to back in the day. And we're in the thick of 1983.
Which was a fabulous year. But we choose K-Rock because we grew up in Los Angeles, and it was the dominant alternative radio station, not really just in L.A., but, you know, for most of the country.
Yeah, very influential. So mostly if we heard it, and if you happen to live in a city, you're lucky enough that had a radio station that actually played alternative music, a lot of it, because it was reacting well in Los Angeles, got played all over the country. And if you lived in London, you heard it 6 months earlier. So we were always behind the curve.
Yeah. So thanks. So we're in 1983, but really you've heard this stuff before 1983.
Possibly. Right now we're in 1983. We're counting down the top 106.7 songs. We've had a few episodes already. We're doing it in 10 song chunks. Right now we're in the 70s chunk.
Well, we're starting with 80.
Starting with 80 and counting down to 71 this episode.
And we should probably explain 106.7 songs. That was the frequency of K-Rock. It still is the frequency of K-Rock.
Still is, indeed. Still on the air.
Yep.
Knock on wood. Yeah. Still kicking. Yeah. There was, back in 1983, there was a countdown of the most popular 106.7 songs. Currently in 2020, the year of our Lord 2020, or whatever it is. How do they say that?
Edit that out.
We cool.
Okay. So the list has been pared down to 80, to the top 80. So there have been 26.7 songs that have been eliminated from the original list. And
some songs have been moved up. Some songs have been added in after being omitted in 1983.
Some fell off.
So I will ask Holly if the song that we are talking about is on the current top 80 of 1983 for the HD2 K-Rock of the 80s channel. That's a mouthful. Anyway, if it's in the updated list, there's...
I'll let you know.
And Holly will let me know, and then I will tell her why she's wrong.
Yeah, but mostly I go with my feelings about it. If I want it to be there, I'm going to tell you it's there.
Of course, as you should. Okay. All right, shall we get started?
Hey, number 80.
Number 80, Stray Cats. She's Sexy in 17. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about parentheses.
A lot of parentheses.
There's another stupid parentheses. I don't understand this one.
This doesn't make sense, but it's she's in parentheses. She's sexy and 17. Like, we wouldn't know if it was she if it was only called sexy and 17.
Right. We don't we don't want them to think that's, you know, talking about a guy.
Well, I don't know. He's sexy and 17.
Well, that it works either way, but the song, I don't know why they put that in parentheses. It's hilarious.
I don't either, because it was the year of the parentheses, maybe. I don't know.
It really was. Do you like this song? Do you remember this song? Do you, I mean, you're a Stray Cats fan. We loved Built for Speed. This was off their next album.
Rant and Rave.
Okay.
Yeah, Rant and Rave with the Stray Cats, I think, was the full album.
I mean, you want to know who you're going to rant and rave with.
Yes. As if we wouldn't have recognized it from the first, you know, guitar lick. I like this song, but you have to remember that there was a lot of time where I was just into the song, you know, it's got a good beat and you can dance to it, as opposed to, you know, really internalizing the lyrics. So I went back and I looked at this. I read a review of this. It was very biting, you know.
By the way, in 1983, how old were you?
I was 18.
Were you?
Okay. Well, I was 7. I turned 18. So okay, I was 17 for 4 months of 1983.
Yeah. So you're right in. This is a song about Holly.
It could
have
been written about me. Exactly. No, this song would never have been written about me, especially
all right, so,
at that age.
Go ahead. You were going to touch on the lyrics?
Do you like the song?
It's a Stray Cat song. It's fun.
Yeah. It's got a good beat and you can dance to it.
Right. Did you have any objection? I mean,
I didn't have an objection at the time.
Right, of course not, because you were sexy and 17.
I wasn't, but I wasn't really paying it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah. I just...
it was, okay, so this was less creepy in that it was high schoolers talking about themselves. They were not in high school, though, is the problem. No, it was a viewpoint. No, you look at the lyrics.
You think it's the viewpoint of a high schooler
right,
towards
even
another
though
high schooler.
Brian Setzer probably was 30 at the time. He was taking the care... The character in the story is in high school and he's skipping school and that, you know, they're talking about high school.
Okay.
So they're both, I think they're both 17 in the song.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better because the I should have listened more closely, but some of the reviews I read perceived it as he was writing about a girl who was sexy and 17 and he is too old to be doing that.
I was thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I actually, like you, I looked at the lyrics and like, okay, that I'm not as creeped out as I could be, possibly be. I don't know what it was about the age 17, but it's a lyrical year. A lot of people. How many 17 songs can you mention?
Winger Like Winger.
That's a good one. There was a song called 17. I'm only 17, but I'll show you love like you've never seen. Okay, that is not good.
No, it's not good. So what is it? Is it that 17 sounds good or really the age? Or does it just sound good in music?
I don't know because you're kind of... As Britney Spears said, you're not a girl, not quite a woman.
Okay, now it's starting to get creepy.
Right. But, you know, even the beat, you know, Paul McCartney, and I saw her standing here, you know, she was just 17. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't know what he meant, but it rhymed, but it still sounds kind of creepy.
It does. That's right. Paul McCartney. I was thinking the Ringo Starr.
Oh, well, that's 16.
16. Yeah. But that was more innocent. I think that was.
All right. Right. 16 is innocent. 17 is, not quite a woman. No, we're getting there. I mean, even you got your Dancing Queen, Young and Sweet, Only 17.
Very good. Wow, what else?
Of course, there's Stevie Nicks, All Alone on the Edge of 17. Well, of course, Meat Loaf, Paradise by the Dashboard Light goes, because we were barely 17 and we were barely dressed. The Cars, Let's Go. And She Won't Give Up because she's 17.
Wow.
Of course, Janice, there's a little more.
At 17.
It's Janice Ian. I Learned the Truth at 17 that love was meant for beauty queens. There was a couple more, some contemporary ones. There was Alicia Cara at 17. I couldn't wait till I could be 17. I thought he lied when he said, take my time to dream. Now I wish I could freeze the time at 17. Blitz and Trapper had a song called Fur, which is really good. If you've never heard that one, that was like maybe like 10 years ago. But they say, when I was only 17, I could hear the angels whispering.
Well, but, it sounds innocent.
Right. So there are different ways to go with 17.
Unless it was the angel whispering into your ear with the devil on the other side.
That's exactly right. So
at 17.
So yeah. 17, quite a year.
Yeah. On to number 79.
Oh, stop it right there.
Back it up. Make the sound.
No. Is Straight Cat, She's Sexy and 17, is that on the updated list?
It is not.
Correct.
Hey, one for one.
Yay.
Okay.
We've forgotten all about Sexy and 17. Yes. So talking about sexy, number 79 is Frere's Doot Doot.
You think this is sexy?
This was like, although I did not participate in this, I think this was like the ultimate makeout song. Like you put on Doot Doot and like, oh, okay.
Really?
It's business time. Let's, oh yeah.
Very interesting.
Oh, put it on and get in the mood.
It didn't put me in the mood. Well, maybe when I was 17, it would have put me in the mood.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, thanks for that. Now I have that image in my head.
Okay. Yeah. Next time you hear it.
17-year-old.
Next time you, put it on your playlist of special songs.
Yeah.
I know you have one.
How did you know about that?
Oh, sure. We all soundtrack our own
I do. I actually put mine in so it's not obvious. I add mine into, another playlist. Like it's encoded.
So your kids don't find it? Hilarious.
Okay. Doot Doot.
Yeah. Freer. 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 As you know, I can't pronounce any names. Freer.
I think it's Freer. I looked it up.
Yeah.
It sounds like Freer.
Okay. I'm going to go with that. Do you remember it from the movie Valley Girl?
I did not.
Okay. Yeah, it is in Valley Girl.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. These guys, Carl Hyde and Rick Smith, were also in the band Underworld. Do you remember them?
I do not. Did you?
I do for the song Born Slippy, which is in the movie Trainspotting. And Born Slippy is an amazing song. That's one of my, I love, 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 love that song.
Born Slippy sounds like a Run DMC song or something.
Well, it could be. Maybe I'll put it on the Spotify playlist just so you remember.
Okay.
You've seen Trainspotting, haven't you?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Yes. Good to hear. Okay.
Yeah. This is a. Yeah. And I promise extra nuggets on the Spotify playlist. So make sure you add it.
I know. I haven't been adding nuggets, but I know I could.
And my promises are empty.
Yeah.
No, I'm promising to see a lot of movies. Those are empty promises.
No, true.
They're Welsh.
Like Tom Jones. Tom Jones is Welsh. I know that.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jones. I wonder if Jones is a common Welsh name.
Probably is.
Yes.
Can you speak Welsh? Did you see? You haven't been watching The Crown, have you?
No.
Okay.
I am going to watch The Crown, though. I am. That's not an empty promise.
Okay. You should. Yes. There's a Welsh episode in there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Okay. Good.
Do you know that they originally only had a squiggle for a name, like a squiggle line for a name?
Oh, kind of like what Prince did for a bit?
Yeah, but the label insisted that they have a name. Prince could do whatever the hell he wanted.
And so the squiggle was pronounced?
Freer. Freer.
Perfect. I'm sure the label was really happy with that.
So aside from how this song made you feel.
I love this song.
I do. Yes.
Something simple, but it's, I don't know, it just kind of builds a little bit. It's not really catchy, but it's just, it's got this groove.
That's why it's catchy.
I don't know if it's even a groove. It's just, I don't know what they're singing about or what's going on, but it's something. Something's happening.
It's something.
Which is probably why it was a makeout song.
So their meaning, the meaning that they have to the song, it's not a deep, mysterious song.
Okay.
It's about seeing someone, being attracted to them, feeling like they've taken center stage in your life or your mind or your heart, and then they are gone and you're wondering, was that real? Were they ever that shining, beautiful person I thought they were, or was that just another dream?
Look at that. Okay.
That's good. That's my kind of music.
All right. Very good. I love it. Is this on the list?
Oh, I don't think so.
It is on the list.
Okay, good.
Number
that makes
68.
Me happy.
It's moved up 11 spots.
Okay. That makes me happy. Good.
All right.
I'm one for two.
One for two.
Okay.
Moving on to...
Yes. Sorry, I got the anticipation excited me.
All right. For this song, this is INXS Black and White.
Yeah.
What do I like about it? Yeah, I mean, Black and White really, I mean, it was a good song, but yeah. I don't think it was necessarily, was it a single?
I don't think it was a single.
It wasn't a big selling single if it was,
but the album.
This was on their first album.
Shabu Shuba.
Right. Okay. So this came out, it came out in 82.
Mm-hmm.
The album, but I guess this came, they started playing this in 83.
Yeah, that's when they got their first American deal.
You know what's interesting? a little bit.
Do tell.
Just because, as we're talking singles, what's your favorite song? There's a single on this Shabu Shaba album. You bought this. Were you all in on this?
I bought most of their albums. I was a huge NXS fan.
All right. So the song Don't Change is on this album.
One of my all-time favorite songs, period.
It is not on the K-Rock list at all. It doesn't make an appearance at all.
Why would that be?
I do not know. But that song is not there. But Black and White is. I don't know why it's interesting why that one was chosen.
I wonder if the unfamiliarity in this country, and it was just like a random, how singles are chosen. Normally, we can even tell, our layman's ears what might be a single from an album.
Sure.
First released to radio.
Right.
Right? I don't know. Maybe usually they blew the it with this one.
I don't know. I did look on YouTube. There's a great clip of them singing this song, Black and White, at the House Festival. In 83.
Oh, did you go? You didn't go because we talked about this.
Yeah. I did not go to the S Festival. Yeah. But he's very dynamic, and it's funny. I think, it's before NXS broke. So you're watching the audience out there. The band is playing and Michael Hutchins is being Michael Hutchins, but not a big reaction from the audience. They're playing in the daytime and, people are just kind of absorbing what they're trying to gather.
Yeah,
trying to
but it was shortly
assess
after.
Assess what they're seeing. Am I liking this or I don't know yet. So it's kind of cool just to see, a band on the verge of breaking.
Well, I think the public decided they like them.
Yeah.
Would you say you were a fan?
Of NXS? I like them. I think it was when Kick came out that I started to really like them.
Yeah.
But I was never a super fan. Yeah. I like them.
Yeah.
I didn't love them like you did.
I loved them and I was devastated. I also learned something new, which I did not know. So Tim Ferriss, he severed his ring finger in 2015.
By doing?
He caught his hand while operating a winch on his boat in Sydney.
How many times have I told you to be careful of the winch?
With the winch? You do, and so I am, and that's why I have all my fingers.
That sounds like such an Australian word.
Winch.
Winch. Watch the winch.
Yeah. So he had two surgeries to reattach his digit. But he was left with permanent damage. So
can he play anymore?
Uncertain as of this information. Uncertain if he'll ever be able to play properly.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. So
enjoy life while you can, people.
Yeah, stay away from the winch.
Stay away from the winch. How many times have I told you?
Yes.
Okay, is this on the list?
I don't believe this is on the list, and I'm not cheating. I promise.
Okay, that is correct. It is not on the list.
Okay. But I think Don't Change something.
He'll be on eventually.
Well, this is as good a time as any to take a break, so we'll be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners. Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shouted Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant quality meals. Well, they got the shipment of Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them? was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Welcome back. Here we go.
Okay, moving on to a song we already discussed.
We did discuss it.
So number 77, The Bongos, Numbers with Wings. Yes. This is a song which I remember.
Yes.
I did not remember Barbarella. You know how Oingo Boingo was mostly a Los Angeles band? Yeah. And they didn't get played in New York or outside of LA. Mm-hmm. I think The Bongos were probably one of those bands that got played a lot on the East Coast and just never necessarily broke all across the U.S.
You know, it's funny. I don't know why, and I didn't say this when we were talking about Barbarella. We talked about the Hoboken music scene.
Yes.
From Hoboken, which I didn't know there was a Hoboken music scene, but you schooled me. There is. I thought they were British.
Oh, really?
And I don't know why. I don't know if it was their sound or I don't know. So
that happened with a lot of bands. Where first time you hear them, you think they're British.
Yeah.
I think I remember the first time I heard Nirvana, I thought that was a British band.
Really?
Yeah. Had no clue. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, rock. Okay.
No,
I didn't. Yeah, before I realized there was the Seattle scene. And that was you know, like, oh, of course, this is grunge. This is, I don't know. Once in a while, you hear something and you assume that a band is from somewhere. But that's not necessarily the case. But so good on The Bongos and Numbers with Wings, still a good song.
And still on the list.
And as we mentioned, this was on the list.
I think
it was. Numbers, it's moved up 10 spots to number 67.
Yeah, and deserving of it.
Okay.
All right.
Number 76.
Yes. I love 1983.
Okay, so what song is this?
This is the Psychedelic Furs, Love My Way, mm-hmm. from Forever Now, which was actually released in 1982.
Another song from the movie Valley Girl.
Valley Girl, yeah.
Indeed, it is. Yeah,
it is, Frank. Yeah.
You're questioning me. Don't question me. This is correct.
But okay, so it's from Valley Girl. Do you remember it was a scene? It was a bathroom scene, right? Nicolas Cage surprises Deborah Foreman in the bathroom at a party. However, you know this because of licensing issues?
Please keep going.
Okay. Let's finish my story. Yeah. I figure you already know. I don't want to tell you anything you don't know, but I'm also educating our audience.
Mm-hmm.
This song and others from the soundtrack, like Who Can It Be Now, had to be replaced on the DVD because of licensing issues, which is kind of a bummer because these songs really make that,
that
movie, which was so 1983.
Yeah, I've heard. I mean, that's a big problem. I remember there's two shows, WKRP and Freaks and Geeks had a hard time licensing all of the music that was on there.
Yeah.
I think they eventually got the original licensing for, get both those songs. I think for both. Yeah, for both shows.
Freaks and Geeks must have because they had some good.
Yeah, they had some good choices.
Good
on
stuff
that.
In there. Were you a Psychedelic Furs fan?
Oh, yes. I love this song. Love mm-hmm. this song. Plus, it has marimbas. How many marimbas songs can you name?
Oh, please just tell me.
Come on, give me one.
Think of
a band we saw together in 2019. Way back in 2019, it was a band that headlined, and they have this song that's
The Cure.
Yeah. It's a song called The Love Cats.
Okay, yeah, that uses a marimba.
The marimba. There's Haircut 100. Come on. If I say that, let's
Love
see.
Plus One.
Very good. Okay. If I say The Violent Femmes, would you know? I can't hum the.
I know.
It's Gone Daddy Gone.
Yes.
Okay.
Daddy, yes.
There's the Thompson Twins, Hold Me Now.
There's a marimba.
There's marimba. Yeah, there is. Huh. Robert Palmer's Looking for Clues. That also has...
yes.
That's a good one.
With I like that song.
There's a lot of good songs with marimba in there.
Yeah, you're right.
From the 80s.
It seems subtle instrument, but you're right.
Everyone talks about the saxophone solos in 80s music, but there were some good marimba songs from the 80s.
I think I prefer the marimba.
All right. But do you know, this is a fun fact, who is playing the marimbas on Love My Way? He's the producer of this song, and his name is Todd Rundgren.
Oh, Todd Rundgren.
Yes.
He's playing the marimba?
He's playing the marimbas on this song.
That's really cool.
I thought so, too. I had no clue. Yeah. I didn't know he produced it. I didn't know he played the marimbas, but that is indeed, according to Wikipedia, which would never lie to me.
No, Wikipedia. Oh, yes, it was actually, you're right. You are correct. I know you weren't giving wrong information, but he had a marimba. I don't know if it was originally written into the song. I think he might have decided to add it when they were in the studio, his studio.
Yeah. It's everything in that song. That's what makes it memorable.
Yeah, that's so great. Do you know what other movie that this song was in?
Go ahead, tell me.
The Wedding Singer, 1998.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I used to go to a lot. I don't see as many now, but I've seen everything, you know, well.
Okay.
For a period.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you hit 90, you know, late 90s, maybe you stopped seeing movies.
98, that was when my daughter was born, so... My first oldest child, also my oldest child.
Your oldest daughter. How can we awkwardly say?
She's my oldest daughter, and she's my youngest daughter also.
Okay. is this song on the updated list?
It better be.
It better be, is what you say?
Is
well,
it?
It is.
Of yes. Course.
It's moved up 10 spots as well, number 66.
Oh, yay. Hey, did you know this? It was also in... the movie Call Me By Your Name, which I did not remember. It was in a dance party sequence, so maybe it was just like background music. But yeah.
I actually, now that you say that, I do remember hearing that song. And like some songs, it hits me, or I remember, like, or even usually it's an 80s song.
Yeah, we remember
like,
seeing
where it's
it.
It's
like,
movie. That's kind of cool. I hear, you know, like, oh, here's a song I know. Usually.
Oh, this movie was made for me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay, so yes. Yay for the Psychedelic Furs.
Yay.
Love, love, love.
Indeed. And they still play around. They play headlining shows, like big, like, you know.
We need to go see them.
One day.
Yeah.
I'm sure that it plays summer. They play like every summer, so I'm sure we'll get an opportunity to do that.
Okay. You know, he's also a painter, Richard Butler.
most of these artists, a lot of these artists are. Usually they go to art school and then they drop out.
Yeah.
And then they form rock bands and so. Apparently, that's what Richard Butler did.
Well, he's still painting, so he's not. He didn't give up. Well, I don't know if he's still painting, but he had an exhibit in 2013. I know that was 7 years ago now, but that's fairly current.
Sure. No, I'm sure he's still painting. I'm sure he's painting right now. Dollars to Donuts. He's got a paintbrush in his hand.
Dollars to Donuts. I like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Number 75.
Another one. I love it. Midnight Oil.
All right. Another Australian band.
Yes. The Power and the Passion.
Power and the Passion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how tall Peter Garrett is, the lead singer.
He's like 8 feet tall.
He's like a he's like a colossal man.
Yeah.
The bald guy. I mean, I remember seeing this video of him.
Yeah.
Even in a video, like, this guy looks abnormally
tall.
He's
a damn big presence.
Yeah. It's like it's crazy.
Yeah. He's great, though. He's a good guy, too. I mean,
he seems like it. Like, really, passionate of Power and the Passion. I mean, he declared it. I mean, this is like a U2 type band. In 83, like they're a serious band, but they're gonna rock
this town
all night. Yeah. But they also have a message behind it, so
yeah.
I mean, the lyric, it's better to die on your feet than to live on your knees, that's always stuck with me. That was kind of a call to action.
He's big on the environment and preserving the environment.
Yeah. So this song, we're going to talk Australia right now.
Okay.
In 2018.
We should talk Australia.
Yeah, one day we will. We got to get the Aussie in here.
Yeah.
But in 2018, Triple M, that's kind of like the BBC.
Familiar with them.
Yeah.
No, Triple M is not public radio. Triple M is private and BBC is. But yes, the music they play. Is that what you're talking
about?
Sort
of like, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, nitty gritty of radio.
Ahead. So Triple M, go ahead and explain that again so I understand.
Triple M, BBC is public radio. You know, it's okay. Taxpayer supported.
Right.
Even though they have channels that appeal to, you know, it's not just like what we see as public radio, like NPR. BBC has, you know, other channels, and one is geared towards a younger audience. One is, you know, news. They have BBC Foreign, you know, Foreign Service. Triple M is a rock network owned by a, you know, a big corporation. It's not publicly funded.
Gotcha. Okay. I had no idea.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, you're Miss International.
Well, radio.
Anyway, they did the most Australian songs of all time.
And that was called the Ozzest 100, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you saw this. All right, so you know Power and the Passion was number 29.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. All right. You'll never guess what number one was.
What was number
because one? Because it's so Australian that I don't even know. I had to play it, but I had no idea what it was.
What is it?
It's by a band called Cold Chisel, and the song is called K-Sun. And it's kind of like a country rock song. It reminded me a lot of John Mellencamp, like that type of sound.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's just about an Australian Vietnam veteran dealing with his return to civilian life. And apparently, this means a lot to Aussie. This song, like, struck a chord with them. It came out in 78. So what do you think was number two, the most Australian song? Came from the 80s, from an Australian band.
And it's not...
Australian band, you know... That Land Down Under, you know that band?
You mean Men at Work?
Yes. Very good.
Who can it be now is number two?
No. Number two is Down Under by Men at Work.
Oh. But you got... I thought you were just referring to the place.
No, I was trying to give you a...
Got it.
Just lead you along the way. Okay. Gently
you
take
you...
You
made that one really well.
No, I'm sorry. Okay. can you name what was the number one AC/DC song? Or the number five was by AC/DC. Can you name, you think you can name the song that's the most Aussie song?
Is not Highway to Hell.
No.
Hell's
That
Bells.
Would not be.
No. Back in Black.
I don't think you want any of those songs to represent Australia.
Oh, God.
But okay, I'll tell you, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah. So what would be the top Midnight Oil song?
Oh, Beds Are Burning.
Beds Are Burning. That was number nine.
Okay.
What would be the top NXS song, Aussie song?
The top NXS song would be, is it from Kick? What is it?
The song's Never Tear Us Apart.
Oh, yeah.
So that was number 18. A lot of these songs
I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of...
You know Never Tear Us Apart, right?
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
So it's kind of fun. I mean, a lot of these songs that I looked on that list, I didn't recognize any of these, but these were like the big, you know, the Australian bands that made it to, that made it big. So those are the songs. So check out Cold Chisel.
Okay.
K-Sun. I think that's a song you're at the bar song? And you put that on the karaoke and everyone sings along, raises a pint.
Okay.
I don't know.
Cold Chisel.
Cold Chisel. K-Sun. Okay. So enough Aussie talk.
Well, it's really never enough Aussie talk, but okay. For the purpose of this podcast for today.
All right.
I don't think we talked enough about Peter Garrett, by the way, so hopefully he'll come up. Well,
he will
come up later, but I think he deserves a whole lot attention. He is awesome.
He does, but you know, we only have a 30-minute show that seems to extend to 50 minutes. Oh, is the song on the updated list?
Yes, it is.
It is. Number 65.
Okay.
Up 10.
Very good.
All right. Number 74 is Soft Cell, It's a Mugs Game.
Is it a Mugs Game?
It is a Mugs Game. I don't know what that means, but it is a Mugs Game.
Yes, from The Art of Falling Apart.
No, it's not. I mean, it was a B-side. This was a K-Rock thing. This was on the remastered version that came out much later.
Okay.
So this was a song that, again, I'm just going to guess that Freddie saw the song Where the Heart Is. He played that and like, this isn't, I don't feel this. Let's see what's on the other side. And he played, then there was, It's a Mugs Game. Like, oh, this is better. Let's play this. And it did pretty well for the K-Rock audience. And the single didn't really do that well for Soft Cell, Where the Heart Is. In the UK, it only reached number 21, and that's after, you know, like their follow-up to their big Nonstop Cabaret album.
Yeah.
This was the follow-up album. And so I don't know. Apparently, for Freddie, It's a Mug's Game was the song.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Otherwise, we might not have been exposed to it.
I kind of like it still. I remember it. I remember hearing it. Do you remember the song?
I did not remember the song. I'm embarrassed to say.
That's okay. Yeah. Songs I didn't remember.
Yeah.
It's a weird song where, you wouldn't think that you combine synthesizer and trumpet and like, yep. You know what this synthesizer song needs? More trumpet.
Marimba.
Yeah.
That's what it needs.
No marimba, just trumpet. But it worked. And so it was a good song for the LA radio audience.
Yeah.
Is this song still on the list?
I don't think it is.
It is still on the list.
They've
kept it on at number 64.
Okay. All right. Well, yay Soft Cell.
Yay Soft Cell indeed. I mean, Soft Cell, they're kind of like an LA band too. I think, even though they're from the UK, I think yes. Mark Almond lives in LA and I think he's, kind of like Depeche Mode is kind of like perceived as an LA band.
Yeah, we've adopted them.
Right. They do really well in LA, not necessarily in other parts of the country.
Yes.
But Soft Cell could play anywhere. Would play a bigger place than they would anywhere else. And
yes.
As Depeche Mode, if they ever played, they would, play stadiums again.
They played.
I know. I mean, I'm just saying if they play again, they will still continue to play.
Play big.
Morrissey is seen as an LA artist,
That's true. Yes, you're right. I take your point.
Okay. Yeah, don't give me that look. I don't need that look.
They're not from LA. How dare you? You know what you're talking about. I know. I shouldn't chime in on that stuff.
No, don't worry. All right. Anyway, Soft Cell, still on the list at 64.
Okay.
But back in the day, in 1983, they were at 74. And now we go to number 73, Devo's Dr. Detroit.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you be less enthusiastic about that?
Yay. I'm happy to see Devo. Yes, it's been established. I like them. I respect them. They're
that sounds like clever an insult and to me.
I
respect them. However, that's what I always expect.
It's not my go-to. No, it's not my go-to music. That's it. But they're Devo. It's Devo.
I don't know what that means.
It's actually, it's from...
Do you remember this movie, Dr. Detroit? With Dan Aykroyd?
Dan Aykroyd. I remember it, but I don't remember seeing it.
You did not miss anything.
Back then?
Back then. Even now, there was no need to see Dr. Detroit. There's no reason for it to still exist. Actually, the only reason for... There's two reasons for it to exist. One was for the Devo song, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Not one of their best, but still fun.
Yes, it is. I admit.
And then apparently Dan Aykroyd met Donna Dixon on the set and they got married.
Is that true?
And they're still married, crazy, right?
That's a great story.
Yeah. So there you go. I know you love love. So there's your love story. That's
really nice.
Crappy movie, but great marriage.
Okay, that makes me happy.
There you go. So it makes you happy. There you go. Yeah. Dr. Detroit makes you happy.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Is this still on the list?
This is not on the list.
Of course not.
Yeah.
No one wants to remember Dr. Detroit, except for Dan Aykroyd and Donna Dixon.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay. Moving to 72. Tell me.
Heaven 17.
Okay. What's the song?
Let me go. Did you recognize it when I sang it?
Not at all.
Yeah.
No. That's okay. I do the
same. But you do remember the song,
yeah,
right?
Oh, a tremendous dance song.
Yes.
This was actually a bigger hit in the U.S. as a dance song than it was in the U.K. It hit number 4 on the U.S. dance charts back in the day and made it up to number 41 on the U.K. charts.
Oh, so we appreciated it more.
I think so.
Yeah.
Apparently we did.
Yeah. It was big. It got played. Yeah, you're right. I heard it on K-Rock. I listened to it on K-Rock. But I see some of the stations it was played on, like Power 96 in Miami, which was a dance station.
Oh, yeah. Did you read the Wikipedia information on this? Like the ties with Human League and Heaven 17? I guess not. Here's a story of two lovely men.
You're talking about Martin Ware and...
Right.
Okay, Martin go ahead. Ware, tell me. Do tell.
Okay. So the two founders, Ian Craig Marsh and Martin Ware, founding members of Human League. Glenn Gregory had been their original choice when seeking a lead singer for the band, but he was unavailable at the time, so they chose Phil Oakey. All right, so Phil Oakey became the lead singer of Human League. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's creative differences, and so they broke up in 1980, and Marsh and Ware left, so they left the band, and they formed Heaven 17. Yes. which is based on the Clockwork Orange. There's a mention of the Heaven 17 have a song called Inside, which reached number 4. And I guess that's how they chose the name Heaven 17.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. They had two other bigger hits, which I wasn't that familiar with, Temptation and Come Live With Me, which were top 10 hits in the UK.
Love Temptation.
Oh, you know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yes,
okay, you know it better than I do. I love that the song "Let Me Go," but were you more familiar with this band?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't dig deep, but I know their history. I know I followed them. Yes, not physically, just through music. Yes, okay.
Start stalking them.
Yeah. No.
Okay, so here's our shout out to Dan McGrath because he's so into his little nerdy instruments. This was the first commercial release to feature the Roland TB-303. And I'm sure Dan's like, well,
he probably has one.
Yeah. It's a
bass. I'm sure he has one.
It's a bass synthesizer, which later played a pivotal role in the acid house movement.
Oh.
But yeah. So oh, yeah, there you
totally
go.
He must be totally into that.
I'm sure Dan has a Roland TB-303 rolling around somewhere.
You can call and let us know.
Okay. Is this still on the list?
Yes, this is definitely on the list.
Yes, it is moved up 9 spots to number 63.
That's it?
Yes,
that's should have been more if I was making the list.
All right, well, write a strongly worded letter.
Okay. Okay.
All right, let's wrap up this episode with number 71, which is a surprise.
Yeah.
And for me, this was a great surprise because I had forgotten about this song. This is the Rolling Stones' Too Much Blood.
Yeah.
I played this. I really like this song.
Really?
I really like this is a hidden gem from the Stones for me.
Okay.
Like I got a kick out of it. And it sounds like 1983. Did you replay it at all?
I did not replay it. We've had this discussion before. This is not my favorite era for the Stones, but.
Right. No. It's from the album Undercover, which is, there were some different sounds on this, but this particular song sounds like a contemporary song. For a K-Rock audience, I think it really fit in there at the time.
Okay.
I give it a listen.
Okay, I will.
I really did look at the lyrics, too, which are kind of... did you look at the lyrics there?
Well, I was enthralled with what this song is actually about.
Little horror movies type scenarios.
But it actually had a real inspiration.
Okay. So should I read the lyrics first and then you could explain?
So read the lyrics, yeah.
Okay. The chorus is, I want to dance, I want to sing, I want to bust up everything to make some love. I want to dance, I want to sing, I want to bust up everything and make some love. I said that twice. So that's but anyway, then he starts talking like Mick Jagger when he talks and sings. I kind of like that too. Yeah, a friend of mine was this Japanese who had a girlfriend in Paris. He had to date her for 6 months and eventually she said yes. You know, he took her to his apartment, cut off her head, put the rest of her body in the refrigerator, ate her piece by piece, put her in the refrigerator, put her in the freezer.
He didn't eat her bones.
And when he ate her, he took her bones to the Bois de Boulogne. By chance, a taxi driver noticed him. Bearing the bones, you don't believe me? Truth is stranger than fiction. We drive through there every day. There's that. Then they creates another scenario. Did you ever see the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Horrible, wasn't it? You know, people ask me, is it really true, you know, where you live in Texas? Is that really what they do around there, people? I say, hey, now every time I drive through the crossroads, I get scared. There's a bloke running around with a chainsaw. Oh, no, he's going to cut off me. Oh, no, don't saw me leg off. Don't saw me leg off. Don't saw off me arm. And then he says, when I go to the movies, you know, I like to see something more romantic. You know, like an officer and a gentleman. There's something you excite the wife to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on there.
Okay.
But it's tongue-in-cheek song. And it's just, again, taking on a character. But if you listen musically to it, it's very contemporary. It's not like blues-based at all. It's more...
I like the blues-based Rolling Stones.
I know you do. I know you do. You like, and you don't like Keyboard Rush, and you like, you know, you have your certain styles that you like and you don't like.
Yeah.
Bands need to stay in their lane.
Yeah.
Some of them do.
I'm open-minded enough. I'll listen to it again and I'll let you know what I think.
All right. Thanks. Listen to the Spotify playlist. It'll be on there.
I will.
Okay.
Did you know that Keith Richards did not record on this song? his guitar tech did, Jim Barber.
I 100% believe that because it doesn't sound like a Keith Richards song at all.
Yeah, yeah. No, so the guy, it was his guitar tech that played, and he gets the credit on the album, and he went on to be a prolific session guitarist.
Right. That's probably why it sounds so different than a Stone song.
And
what else?
You know who played sax? I just have
Todd Rundgren. I don't know.
Come on, you. There are only two sax players.
Well, there's
you can
Bobby
name.
Keys, and Kenny. And there's Kenny G.
One more.
And Kurt Whalum. There's
Wow, you are really
David Sanborn.
There you go.
Okay, David Sanborn.
You're very well versed in the saxophone players.
Oh, so many. There's Clarence Clemens could have.
Oh yeah. No, I was only thinking Kenny G or David Sanborn.
Okay. For me, it was a Lost Stones classic that they will probably never ever play again, even if they tour until they're 100. That's a song that you will never hear, but it's worth digging up again.
Because I respect you. I'm going to go back and listen to it.
Why, thank you.
With an open mind.
Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, so now it is Holly's turn to answer these questions. These are quiz 10 questions. Are you ready? Okay.
I'm ready. I think I'm going to get them all this time.
All right. Hopefully these
or none.
How many? Okay, let's give a prediction. How many do you think you will get right?
5.
You think you're...
10.
All right. Let's set the bar low.
I don't have much confidence in myself.
All right.
Especially if it's years.
All right.
Please.
I don't see any years right now.
Oh, okay. Then I'll get all 10.
Which song by the Eurythmics begins with the phrase, "No one on earth could feel like this"? Is it Sweet Dreams, Here Comes the Rain Again, There Must Be an Angel?
Here Comes the Rain Again?
No, There Must Be an Angel.
Okay.
See.
I should have known that because it doesn't sound familiar. Okay. And that's the song I know the least.
Oh, okay. I would not know that one either.
Okay. Stupid that guessing
makes you,
on my part.
That makes you feel better.
Thank you. Yes, it does because you're the expert.
Oh, look. I'm sorry. This is a year question. I'm already lying.
Am I going to know it?
In what year did Phil Collins release the song "You Can't Hurry Love"? 82, 84, 86.
82.
Very good. You got one.
One for two.
Who had success in 1986 with the song "A Different Corner"?
George Michael.
Very good. 2 for 3. Which song by the group Survivor has a chorus that contains the phrase, "There's a quest for answers, an unquenchable thirst"? Is it "I Can't Hold Back," "Eye of the Tiger," or "Burning Heart"? You could probably take out one of the songs. It is "Burning Heart." I wouldn't have known that one either. Okay. 2 for 4. From which United States city did the band Survivor? Jeez, what's with the Survivor? We need a new book.
Yeah, we do.
When are we creating our own book? From which United States city did the band Survivor come from?
Chicago.
Correct. So what do we got? So that's 3 for 5.
Yes.
Okay. In which year did John Lennon release the song "Imagine"? This is not right. Well, maybe they're thinking about the movie.
Read them.
I don't like this question.
Okay.
But I will ask it anyway.
We should exempt it. Am I going to be wrong? Okay.
In which year did John Lennon release the song "Imagine"? I guess as a single. Maybe it was never released as a single, but here we go. 80, 82, 84. I'm actually going to look this up because I think it is BS. All right, so Imagine came out in 1971.
Yes.
I don't know. I think, you know, they're talking about Double Fantasy. So, okay, so we throw this one out.
Okay, fair.
Who chose this book?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what I was thinking.
All right.
Or why.
So number 6, it says, in which year did John Lennon release the song Imagine? And gives the possible answers as 1980, 82, or 84. It came out in 1971, so we're throwing that out.
Okay.
All right. So you are still 3 for 5.
Okay, tweet the author.
All right. Within the group Foreigner in the 1980s, who played the drums? Lou Gramm, Dennis Elliott, or Mick Jones?
Dennis Elliott.
That is correct. It's the one name you don't recognize. It's always the drummer.
Yes. Well, there are exceptions.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so we're 4 for 7. 4 for 6, actually, because we threw one out.
Okay.
4 for 6. Which of these songs by The Police was released first? Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic, Every Breath You Take, Don't Stand So Close to Me.
What was first?
Which one did they release first?
Don't Stand So Close to Me.
That is correct. There we go. So 5 for 7. This is you said you were going to get more than 5, mm-hmm. Or you said you were going to get 5. So are you going to tank these next ones?
Do not
ones?
Jinx me.
All right. Well, this is a year one, so it might be tough. In what year did Michael Jackson release his album Bad? 83, 85, 87.
83.
No.
Oh, 87? 85? See? Okay.
All right. I am. Yeah. That was 1987.
Okay.
All right. So that's So we're five for eight. Let's see if you can get this one. It's another Michael Jackson question.
Oh.
The Michael Jackson song Smooth Criminal was part of which album? You should know this without me even asking.
I know.
All right. Anthology, Thriller, or Bad?
Bad.
Very good. All right. 6 for 9.
What is that?
That's above 50%. That's more than you thought you were going to get. Okay. 5 and you got 6.
I rock.
You do rock. Congratulations on rocking so hard.
You. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for picking up my slack.
Continue to rock. My name is Dave.
I'm Holly.
This is What Difference Does It Make podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on
all our social media. Find us at WDDIM podcast or What Difference Does It Make.
Yeah, look us up on Instagram. Look us up on Twitter. There's always something happening that we're trying to gain
little
attention.
Little nuggets.
There's always little nuggets. Oh, look, there's the music. You know what that means.
No, already?
Yeah, it's time to say goodbye.
All right.
All right, so until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.